Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we'll be talking about multisensory exhibits at science museums. And being the geeks we are, this was really a lot of fun.
Join us as we visit the Ontario Science Centre in Toronto, learn about the services they provide, and experience some of the exhibits. We even got to participate in a research experiment being conducted there. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, when you're in a large public venue, make good use of the family or special needs restrooms that they've started providing.
You know, that has really changed over the years. When we used to travel years ago, they didn't have these family usable restrooms and rest facilities and all. And, you know, I find these a lot handier. And a lot of these big places like museums, airports, travel plazas, the bathroom facilities are huge and they're very complex and they're not laid out the same. And it can be very confusing. They're often very noisy. So if you go in there being visually impaired, it's difficult to listen as you find your way around. So these family facilities are very useful. They're just made for one person. I mean, generally, they're made big enough so that you can wheel in a wheelchair and they have grab bars all around. But, you know, if you're visually impaired, it's a lot easier layout to get around.
And what often happens with us is we'll seek out the special needs or family restroom. And Pete doesn't often use his cane when we're out together. And so he'll just be following me by the shoulder or holding my hand and we'll head for the special needs restroom. And some staff member will see us going in and, you know, you got to be grateful to them trying to defend this facility that's intended for people who need it. And they say, hey, you know, that's for people with special needs. And as soon as we turn around and say, well, you know, he's blind, they're like, oh, yeah, it's for you too. You know, please go ahead and use it.
But they're a lot more common these days, and you really ought to search them out. You can find them if you look in most airports and other larger public facilities.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet some of the staff at the Ontario Science Centre. We first learned about their accessibility programs by looking at their online presence because we wanted to know what we were going to get ourselves in for when we went there, not like we haven't been there on every previous visit to Toronto. But we went to their Visit Us page. And it says they provide an access guide for visually impaired persons. This guide identifies their exhibits and programs that will most appeal to people who are blind or visually impaired. It also gives wayfinding directions to locate these. And there are two editions of the access guide. There's one in PDF format intended for sighted companions, featuring all sorts of graphic items and maps. And you can print this and take it with you. Well, it's about 16 pages long, so you have to really want to print it and take it with you. But it's very informative. And then there's also a text-only version in HTML that's designed for what they refer to as read-out-loud screen reading devices, so the visually impaired person can take their own version of the accessibility guide.
And this is a great place to start anytime you may be doing some sightseeing or going to some public facility like a museum. Look on their website. They often have a place where they talk about their accessibility programs. Often they'll have some special discounts to get in. They'll have some special exhibits that you might not have known about and some special facilities that may make it easier to see some of the exhibits. This is true at entertainment places, at amusement parks, and you know, wherever you go, look at the website first and do a little homework ahead of time, and you might be surprised.
We actually knew the answer to the question about what they provide for visually impaired patrons when we showed up at the ticket counter and innocently asked that question.
We're both adults.
Okay.
We would like to get in.
Okay.
And he's blind. Do you have special ticketing?
So what happens is he pays his admission and you get in as a support person free of charge.
I promise I'll be supportive.
Oh, okay. Well, you're worth it.
Okay.
And that's fairly common at a lot of these facilities. The visually impaired person can bring a guest in to help guide them around, often for free.
And whether they call the sighted person a companion or an escort or a support person or a guide, they're very nice about letting the second person in for free because they figure that's really going to enhance the experience of the visually impaired guest. So we started looking for somebody who could tell us about accessibility at the Ontario Science Centre.
My name is Leona, and I'm a host and educator at the Ontario Science Centre.
Do you know anything about that? We were hoping to get an audio clip for our radio show.
Unfortunately, I don't. I don't know that much about it myself.
Well, the last person told us to find someone in a white lab coat, so...
Yes.
That was you.
Yes. I started last week, so...
Got it.
So I'm still learning the ropes here as well.
Normally, many of these museums have docents scattered throughout the building, and they're knowledgeable about the exhibits and what's going on around the museum. So we naturally approached the first docent, and it just so happened, as she said, she was new. She was just sort of the greeter to let you know generally about the facility. But we continued on our journey.
So can you guys introduce yourselves?
My name is Bruno. I have a kinesiology background. And I worked in the kinesiology field for about 7 years or so. And I was looking for a change.
Yeah.
And I thought of the Science Center. It's just something that came to my mind. And I said, well, let me give that a shot and see how that goes. And 13 years later, here I am.
My name is Rob, and I've been here just a couple years at the Science Center. Like I said, I'm studying physics. I'm in school at York University right now.
Rob and Bruno were very enthusiastic docents and were really very knowledgeable about many of the other exhibits that were multisensory and could be enjoyed by visually impaired folks.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is the accessibility of science museums, in particular at the Ontario Science Centre in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And if you want to visit them online, they're at www.ontariosciencecentre.ca. Now, being in Canada, they spell center, C-E-N-T-R-E. Here are Rob and Bruno again, describing how and why they have so many different varieties of experiences at the Ontario Science Centre.
A lot of the experiences that are here at the Science Center are developed for people of all ages, especially, or not excluding children. And of course, children are very tactile learners, and so there's lots of things to touch and feel as well. So it's not just, like Bruno was saying, there's a lot to feel and hear. It's not just visuals and seeing.
So as Rob said, it's not that they just make these exhibits accessible to the visually impaired. They're really trying to make these exhibits appeal and be enjoyable to as many people as possible, old, young, and no matter, you know, what your situation is. And it just so happens that many of these same things make it enjoyable for the visually impaired and make it possible for the visually impaired to participate in these exhibits.
They, in particular, told us about a whole variety of exhibits that could be enjoyed non-visually.
We have, for example, the rainforest. And the rainforest is very experiential. So you walk into it, and you can immediately feel the heat. It's very hot, it's very damp, very humid. And once in a while, the sprinklers go off, and it rains.
Oh, great.
So there's an exhibit right there that, you know, even though you won't be able to see it, if you can't see it, you could still... experience it with using your other senses.
We're always amenable to taking people up on their good suggestions, so we actually wandered into the rainforest to see what they were talking about and what it was really like.
Welcome to the rainforest.
Okay. First, there's a push door.
Okay.
As promised, this is a multi-sensory rainforest. It's hot as blazes.
It is very humid.
Okay, they have pictures and labels of all different kinds of trees.
You can feel that the floor is all wet and slippery.
Whoops. And there was a step.
Well, it's just lumps. It's not really steps.
Just like a rainforest. You can hear all the kids enjoying this experience in the background. But as Rob pointed out, this truly is a multi-sensory experience. It was very humid, and as you'd walk by different trees, you might get dripped on. Occasionally some rain started. It was pretty hot, right?
Oh, it was hot and humid. We definitely got the rainforest experience, although I don't think they had quite as many bugs.
Now, that was a good thing.
Rob and Bruno went on to describe some exhibits with large audio components.
A lot of the exhibits that we have in the Science Arcade have to do with physics, and so there's a lot of things on optics, which is light, but we also have a lot of things on acoustics, which is sound, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've got this, we call it the sound tunnel, or the, it's an anechoic chamber. So basically it's a soundproof room, and you can experience the difference between being outside in a noisy environment and seeing how soundproofing works. We also have a lot of exhibits that are musical in nature in the Science Arcade because they have to do with resonance and vibrations and acoustics. So there's a lot of exhibits in the Science Arcade that also that you'll find there.
So again, we took them up on their suggestion and we went by the sound tunnel. And this was interesting. It was a little tunnel that as you walk into, you can hear that it becomes successively more and more quiet. And we'll take you through that, I guess.
The big sign at the door says, come inside and listen. Let's do that. Skinny. Why is it so quiet in here? The noise is disappearing into the holes in the walls. The holes break up the sound waves. Part of each wave goes through the hole to be absorbed by layers of foam behind the wall. The fragment of the wave that bounces back to your ear is distorted and harder to hear.
And you can feel all the holes. It's nice and peaceful in here. We should stay here for a bit.
And the little meter says that it's 30 decibels in here and 65 out there.
Going out.
How can you tell?
Back to reality. So that was kind of fun. I mean, actually, there are no doors or anything. It's just a tube that you walk through, and it maybe twists around a little bit once. But as you go through, just all of a sudden, all the outside noise just disappears. I was really willing to stay there for a little while. It was noisy out in the main part of the museum.
The next exhibit was one where they added sound.
Okay, here we are by some kind of xylophone thing.
Musical metal. This sculpture by Francois and Bernard Bachet combines art with acoustics. When you strike the metal rods, they vibrate at different frequencies according to their lengths. The longer the rod, the slower the vibration, and the lower the pitch of the sound.
Okay, go for it. Can you play me a tune?
I doubt it.
I guess you're right. You couldn't play me a tune.
No.
Well, that was Nancy hammering away on the xylophone. You're a pretty good musician.
Oh, thank you. I don't think Beethoven needs to worry. And, of course, we gravitated towards the physics exhibits because we're physicists, but they also had biology and physiology exhibits with large audio components.
Listen to the beat. What can you hear in a heartbeat? Mostly the sound of heart valves opening and closing, but sometimes there are sounds that signal heart abnormalities or damage. Press and listen. Here's a normal heartbeat. Here's a heart murmur. Here's a heartbeat after a heart attack. And back to the normal one.
Okay?
Yeah.
Those sounded like some giant hearts. But it was kind of fun.
Yeah, just in case you were wondering what the doctor's listening to when they put that cold stethoscope on your back. And they had other exhibits that you could experience with other senses besides auditory and tactile.
We have this wheel, which you hold onto with both hands. And when you spin it, and you're standing on a spinning platform, And by moving this wheel, you can feel your momentum changing. So you're literally moving from right to left. So that's a very, very kinesthetic experience right there.
Those can be fun. We didn't do that this particular visit to the museum, but we've tried that in the past. Essentially, you take a spinning wheel and you're on some platform that rotates very freely. And it's sort of like a gyroscope. As you twist the wheel in your hands, you'll start spinning around on this platform.
And the reason we didn't do it was because it was very popular and there were a lot of people waiting their turn. So we went on to the next one. And of course, there are exhibits that you explore with other senses still.
Your website says you can smell some of the exhibits.
Yes, we do have that as well. In the Weston Family Innovation Center, there's one where you press the button and a puff of air comes out. And you smell it, and it, even for sighted people, the idea is, okay, what does that remind you of? You know, does it remind you of clean laundry, or does it remind you of being outdoors in the springtime after a rainfall, that sort of thing. So we do have the smells in the Innovation Center.
And of course, we couldn't pass that up either.
So what's the title of this one, Sniff and Smell?
Sniff and Tell. Which scent makes you the happiest? It says here we can distinguish up to 10,000 odors.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sticking my nose up here and pressing the button. That one's okay. There's another hole to stick my nose into. Ooh, that smells like someone's attic. Okay, the first one was making me happier. Yeah, this one's okay. It smells like tea. And that last one is horrible. It smells like more dust. Oh, another one. Yeah, this one doesn't smell like much.
That's it.
Okay, that's it. I'm happy.
So it's kind of fun to go through all these different exhibits and use your different senses and play around and actually learn something in the process about different aspects of science.
And coming soon, there will be additional smell exhibits.
Upcoming, we have the circus exhibition coming towards the end of, no, beginning of May, I believe it is. There's also a smells exhibit in there about the smells that you smell in the circus.
Oh, boy.
you don't like the smell of candy? Or of
cotton candy and elephant
candy?
Manure?
Well, yeah, there's that as well. Yes.
I guess we'll see when we see the smell exhibit, right?
Yeah.
I think we can't be too disappointed that we were not there during the circus smell exhibit, right?
Right, but I'm sure they included all sorts of informative and entertaining exhibits in addition. We love science museums. We've been to them all over the place. As usual, we get there early. We're one of the first people in the door. And as usual, we stayed until closing time. On the way out, we ran into the first docent again.
And you enjoyed your day?
We did. We had a great day.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so I hope that you got some good sound clips to put on your website.
We did, yes.
Yeah.
Including you.
Including you.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I don't know the answer. Please definitely put that on the website.
Well, thank you.
The center will be closing in 10 minutes. Please make your way to the main entrance. We hope you enjoyed your visit, and I'll see you again soon.
Well, and they finally threw us out. It was nice to meet that original docent on the way out. She was quite pleasant, and now she knows that the museum is accessible to the visually impaired, and she'll be able to pass that along to the next patron.
Now for this week's high-tech item. This was something that we've never seen at a science museum before, but the Ontario Science Center makes a habit of having active research programs on site that their visitors can participate in. Here are Rob and Bruno again.
We do this program called Research Live here at the Science Center, where we bring in researchers from different academic institutions, different universities, to do real research with our visitors don't take this the wrong way, test subjects. It's totally, it's fun and it's safe and everything, but they need people to actually do the research with them, and they need subjects, they need sample size of people. And so the Ontario Science Center sees lots and lots of visitors every day. It's a perfect place for researchers to actually do research with the public.
So always willing to further the cause of progressing science, We signed up as guinea pigs for this project.
To introduce the topic, we're going to let you listen to the lead investigator, Katrina Steele. She wasn't actually at the Science Museum. She had some graduate students and undergraduates running the experiment, but we phoned her after the fact, and here she is.
My name is Katrina Steele, and I'm a scientist here at the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute, and I run the Swallowing Rehabilitation Research Laboratory, where we explore a number of different research projects related to the issue of swallowing difficulties.
And other people at the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute work on lots of other different kinds of impairments.
There are some scientists associated with the Institute who have interests in general sensory impairment and in particular loss of sensory function with aging, for example, in macular degeneration.
So we asked if she could put us in touch with some of those people for a possible future episode of Viewpoints. So stay tuned for that. We'll see if we're able to hook up with those people and do another episode about some ongoing research on people with sensory losses. Here's Katrina again giving an overview of the study that they're doing at the Science Center.
To set the context, the tongue is a really important structure in swallowing, and we're exploring a number of questions related to people's tongue function and trying to understand, for those people that develop swallowing difficulties, first of all, to what extent is a problem with tongue strength contributing to their problems? And then how does that help us understand the kinds of treatments that we can offer to them?
So as we indicated, we signed up as test subjects. Actually, I signed up as a test subject and you watched.
Well, I had an excuse. I can't digest sugar, and part of the test involved tasting all of these little sugary samples. And so that was not going to make for a happy day.
And there were actually several components to this test. So one of them was you had to swallow different fluids that were, some were thick and some were thin, more viscous, less viscous. But as Nancy said, they all had sugar in it. And they assessed how well you could tell which one was thicker. They would give you three different fluids and say which was the most thick or the most thin. And they'd keep on swapping these things. So they wanted to get some assessment there. Another part of the study was to see how strong your tongue was. So they put some little device in your mouth and you would press against the roof of your mouth and they would measure how much pressure you could apply. And the part of the test I thought was particularly fun is they had a little paddle that they placed some raised letters on, and they would stick these on your tongue, and you were supposed to try and identify which letters were being placed on your tongue. And all the letters were different sizes.
Now, they blindfolded all the other subjects. Pete dispensed with the blindfold, but he went along with the rest of the experiment for that one.
In the process of exploring these sensory functions in the mouth, we want to also understand whether there are other kinds of sensation in the mouth that are related to the things that we're interested in. And one of those forms of sensation is tactile discrimination. And so the test is one that's been developed in the literature for looking at tactile discrimination with the tongue. So it involves being blindfolded and then trying to read these letters with your tongue. And as they get smaller, seeing whether or not you can still detect differences and accurately identify the letter. And that may be, we don't yet know, that may be related to the kind of process that the tongue uses when it's figuring out the texture and the viscosity of food and liquid in the mouth.
And I was very interested to try and recognize characters with my tongue. My initial impression was that it would be very difficult to do. I remember trying to use an Opticon many years ago.
Not with your tongue.
Not with my tongue. So an Opticon, for those that don't know, is a device, I guess it was around in the early 80s or so.
Oh, definitely in the 70s. There was a blind graduate student who I went to school with who had one and used it extensively.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was in the mid-70s.
Anyways, the Opticon was a device that had a little camera that you'd scan across print, and it would translate that image into an array of vibrations generating reads, and you were supposed to actually feel the outline of the characters with your finger. And although I used to be able to read print as a child because I could see better, I had a lot of difficulty recognizing characters with my finger, and they were pretty big. They were the size of your fingertip. So when we started this thing with trying to recognize characters on your tongue, I figured this would be even more impossible.
So let's meet the student who administered the test.
I'd like to introduce you to Elvin, who will collect the data for you. Elvin is a first-year student in speech-language pathology, and she's working with us on weekends on this research project.
And here's Elvin helping Pete through the test.
So now we're going to see how well you can read with your tongue. All right, so
okay. What do I need to do
these
here?
Letters are all capital letters.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it to you like this, and you're going to put it into your mouth.
And they're all going with the bottom towards you?
Okay. And you're just going to try and read the letter, the embossed letter, with your tongue.
Yeah.
So the top
that would
of
be
the,
interesting.
Yeah, so the top of the letter will always be furthest back in your mouth.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And the letters can get smaller.
Yeah.
And bigger.
Yeah.
All right, and if you don't know the answer, just give me your best guess.
Okay.
Okay, so here's your first letter.
These ones all came off a tray that was presumably sterilized.
Yes, they're all sterilized.
So now is he allowed to... Blah, blah,
can I move
blah,
it around?
Yes, you can move it around.
Oh, well, I see you. Wow, maybe an N? I don't know.
Okay. So here's your next letter.
J? Okay.
And the test went on and on with many letters back and forth.
It may have sounded like Pete was having trouble, but he actually bottomed out at the smallest size, and Elvin kept having to cycle through the couple of samples she had at the smallest size, and he just got them all right.
Well, now I guess we know if push comes to shove, I can always read something with my tongue.
Once.
Once.
Yick.
So that was a lot of fun anyway, and just shows you another aspect of some of these museums and what's going on, and you just have to investigate to see what's happening and check out what might be available to you. I would have never expected, you know, something like a science experiment to go on, but this is routine at the Ontario Science Center.
And if you're interested in more information about the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute, aka Toronto Rehab, their website is www.torontorehab.com, or they can be reached by telephone at 416-597-3422. As always, if you missed any of the links or phone numbers we've given, they'll all be in the show notes, which you can access at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net.
And I also encourage people to join our Google Groups forum for Viewpoints Plus if you want to communicate with other users and kind of share your experiences, ask questions about what you've heard on the show. You can find links to how to subscribe to that Google Groups forum on our website also. That's it for show 1223. And on next week's show, we'll be talking about Studio Recorder, which is an audio editing program developed by the American Printing House for the Blind and is very accessible to visually impaired folks.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.